My beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ and young people, why do we call ourselves an ecclesia and not a church? I think before we go any further, we want to look at the meaning of the word church. Now, at home I've got a book, it's about a thick, printed in the late 1800s, and it's a book called The Book of Phrase and Fable, and it deals with the origin of words. Very, very useful book. I was going to bring the book, so I've just photocopied a piece out of it. And this is the definition of the word church. The etymology of this word, or the beginnings of this word, are generally assumed to be from the Greek, kurios oikis, or the house of God. This is most improbable, as the word existed in all Celtic dialects long before the introduction of Greek. No doubt the word means a circle. The places of worship among the Germans and Celtic nations are always circular. The Welsh, Carrick, the French, Cirque, the Scottish, Kirk. So it's telling us there that the origin of the word church was to do with the circles. You've got Stonehenge, you're going to Wales, you've got several circles there of places of worship used by the pagans. Now, obviously, that's where we started. What is the origin of the word itself? Now, get the English dictionary. And what does the English dictionary say? It says, a building set apart and consecrated for Christian worship. Now, we're going into the New Testament, because the New Testament is written in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew. And when we look at in the Greek concordance, we find that the word ecclesia is the word ek, or out of, klesis, to call or invite. So putting the whole thing together, it's a calling out of a religious congregation. The idea of an assembly who has received an invitation and taken up that invitation. And I think we ought to be fully aware of the work of William Tyndale. William Tyndale translated in his authorized in the New Testament. He took out the word church, because the word church was in the Latin Vulgate, and because he dared to take the word church out of the Scriptures, because it was the word used by the Catholic Church, because he dared to do that, he forfeited his life and he was burnt at the stake. Sadly, when he came to the authorized version which we have here, in 1611, there was a very big argument over this word. Should they keep to the word which Tyndale had used? He didn't use the word church, he used the word congregation. And so when they came in 1611, they argued over this. Should the word congregation be put in as Tyndale had translated it throughout the whole of the scripture, or should the word church put in? There was a tremendous pressure from the church. So that's why in our version, the authorized version, we have the word church. Now, I want to do a little bit experiment. I want to take a simple passage out of the Old Testament and see how that passage has been translated into the New Testament. Very simple one to remember. Psalm 22:22. We're just going to take a verse from Psalm 22:22. Then we're going to see how the translators have altered that into the New Testament, because this is how Tyndale would have translated it, both in the Old Testament and in the New. So it's easy to remember. Psalm 22:22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And the word congregation is used throughout the whole of the Old Testament when there was a gathering together of the nation of Israel for worship. So remember what we've just read. Declare thy name in the midst of the congregation. Now, if you're going to translate that out of the Old Testament, putting it into the New Testament, it should follow exactly the same. But what do we find? Hebrews chapter 2 and at verse 12. A direct quotation out of Psalm 22:22, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. Here it is, verse 12. Let's take verse 11 because we shall be coming back here because it's all part of what we're going to look at today. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified, that word means set apart, they are all one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. This is where they have taken the word congregation and changed it to the word church. And that's a direct translation out of the Old Testament. They have changed it, gone back to what they wanted, the church wanted at the 1611, and not what Tyndale had got. So let's, so far we've then discovered that this word church should not exist as far as the Bible, the scriptures are concerned, but the word ecclesia. Now I want to see how this word ecclesia, an assembly of called out ones, how it was started. So can we start then where our presiding brother read for us? We'll start in Acts 15, shall we? Now, obviously, keep a mark in Acts 15 because we shall be going to and fro. I know sometimes it's difficult to find these passages. If you've got some means to mark it, and you young people here, if you take note, it's essential that you look at some of these things, keep them in your mind because it may come in useful at some stage. Acts 15, verse 14. So we're going to take it step by step and see exactly what is recorded here. Why we've come here, we're going to look at the principle that God is calling a people, a congregation, for a particular purpose. So Acts 15 verse 14, and we read, Simeon hath declared how God did at first visit the Gentiles. Now, the word visit means to inspect or to select. What does that tell us? That tells us that God has looked over the whole of the earth, and he's carefully selected one here, one there, one there. Much the same as a teacher in a class would look round the class and knowing the ones who had got the potential to do the job required, and they would be selected. So God has selected, inspected first and selected the Gentiles. Why? Answer comes. Because he was to take out of them, and here's your word ecclesia, to take out, to come out. An ecclesia, a people for his name. So you have a selection which takes place, and that selection becomes an assembly of called out ones. An assembly of called out ones is from which we get the word saint or sanctified. The word saint simply means sanctified or separated ones. So an ecclesia is a congregation of people who God has called and they have been set apart for a particular purpose. Now what I want us to do now is go through where this word saint occurs. Remember what it means? It means someone who has been separated or set apart. So let's go back into the Old Testament to Psalm 50. We'll start there, and then we'll work our way through. We'll have two out of the Old Testament and just two out of the New Testament. Okay, Psalm 50. If we go to verse 5. Now, it's remarkable not many people know that the word saint actually is used in the Old Testament. We tend to think it's more of a New Testament word. Right here, in Psalm 15, I'll take verse 4 for the connection. And he shall call the heavens from above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So that simply is telling us, gather my saints, the separated ones. They're separated because how and why they have made a covenant by sacrifice. They have been prepared to give up something special for something even more special. So this is, here we got the word saint in the Old Testament. Come, we might as well stop in the Psalms. Take Psalm 116. Psalm 116 and verse 15. Because these people, as we've seen from Psalm 50 and verse 5, are separated out, what does it say in verse 15 of Psalm 116? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So those who have made a covenant with God by sacrifice, when they die, their death is something which is precious as far as God in heaven is concerned. So we use the word saint in the Old Testament. Now let's see its use in the New. Let's start with the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 2. And we read there in verse 2, unto the I won't read the word church because we know what that word means now. It means an ecclesia, an assembly of called out ones. The 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, unto the ecclesia of God which is at Corinth, to those that are sanctified, set apart, saints in Christ Jesus, called, the words to be, you see in italics, if you see that, that means it's not in the original Greek manuscripts. There's our sanctified in Christ, called saints, which are in all at that, in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And while we're still in 1 Corinthians, well, let's turn over to verse 26. And we're reminded there of something very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for we see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many a mighty call, not many mighty, not noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. So this selection is of people separated for God's purpose. The other New Testament quotation is the 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and at verse 9. Showing that this selection is something very special. Verse 9. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar it doesn't mean funny. If you look in your margin, it says, a purchased people. Why? That you show forth the praises. Again, look at your margin. Mark it in your Bibles. The word praises there means virtue. In all other words, God's character. So we have been selected out of the teeming millions to know God and to show in our lives his character. So let's go back to Acts 15, see what else we can find out. So God did at first visit the Gentiles for what purpose? To take out or to separate a people. And the word people, again, look in your Greek. You'll find that it means those that exercise courage. Those that exercise courage. It's the type of person who will have the knocks in life and still come bouncing back. You go through your Old Testament characters. We're reading at the moment about David. Once he'd had a problem, he didn't just lie there and wallow in self-pity. He came bouncing back. Count how many times David went down and came up again. Go to Jacob. He's another one. Go through the faithful in the scriptures. They were the type of people who would come back. I was thinking about them, and I still have them now. We, at home, we used to have a budgie in a cage, and we got a little doll, and this thing was weighted at the bottom, and the budgie used to pick it, and no matter how hard it picked it, it still came bouncing back. That's the idea behind this world. The type of people who exercise courage. Notice, to take out of them a people for his name. But having been called out by special invitation, there are certain responsibilities but also certain privileges. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So having been called by God to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and having been baptized, there is a very special purpose that we have. We have responsibilities. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So having been separated, we're told that we must remain separated from out of this wicked world in which we live. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 6. Therefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you've got a concordance at home, look at that word receive. It means to be a favourite. Just think about that. The great creator of the heavens and the earth was called one here, one there, saying, if you will remain separated, you will be my favourite. Isn't that marvellous? For he says, and you will be my favourite, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters, saith the Almighty. A question we can ask ourselves here, would we be a favourite with the world, or would we like to be a favourite with God? There's no middle course. That's what scriptures are telling us very simply. So God's purpose then is to call out of them a people. Go back to Acts 15 verse 14. Is to take out a people for, what for? His name. And the word name is a surname or a family name. And when you're baptized into the name of the Father. And that's all part of the purpose of God. And God's purpose is to create a family. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. So God has called out a people, one here, one there, for his family. He's expecting them to remain to him, and because he is the Father. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 for connection. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom, verse 15 of Ephesians 3, the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. So baptism makes us part of God's family. What a wonderful privilege that is, to have God as our Father. So having looked at this word church, and those associated with this word church, or as we now know it, the true meaning is ecclesia, or a congregation of separated ones, I want us just to have a look how it's used in other parts of the New Testament. So I'll take three quotations out of the New Testament to show how this word church has been used, and how, when you know the meaning of it, how silly it sounds as in the authorized version. So let's come, our first quotation, Romans chapter 16. So we understand now the true meaning is an assembly of called out ones by special invitation. We come now into Acts Romans 16. That's what's known as a senior moment. I'm allowed one or two, aren't I? If we come now to Romans 16 verse 5. Likewise greet, I'll read it as it's in the authorized version. Likewise greet the church which is in their house. Salute thou beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now, remember the dictionary definition was, and I'll read it again for you, a building set apart and consecrated for Christian worship. Can you put a church in a house? Of course you can't. But you can put, let's change that word church to the word an assembly of called out ones, but you can have an assembly of called out ones in a house, very simply. Let's follow through into the 1 Corinthians chapter 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 19. And you've got the same thing here again. Verse 19. I'll read it as the authorized is. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord and the church that is in their house. Again, we know the meaning of this word church is not, it is an assembly of called out ones. So we read it again. To the assembly of called out ones of Asia, salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you very much with the ecclesia, an assembly of called out ones. Where do they meet? In their house. So by a simple following through, we can see this word, how it's used in the New Testament. You can't have a church in a house. Dictionary definition, a building set apart and consecrated for Christian worship. But you can have an assembly or a congregation. Now, there's always one exception, isn't there? When we read the word church in the New Testament, we can read the word ecclesia. Except one particular spot. Make a note of it. Acts chapter 19. And Tyndale was very much aware of this word here. Acts chapter 19, and we go in at verse 37. It's when Paul was being at Ephesus, where there was a big revolt took place because of his teaching. And the elder or the town clerk of the city says this, verse 37. I'll read it as it is, for ye have brought thither these men which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Tyndale, in his translation, says, a temple robbers. So it does actually mean a building. He said they are not robbers or of temples, because that word church just means in that instant a building where worship takes place. So remember that one, mark it up so that next time you see it, you'll understand that you can read the word church. Don't read the word ecclesia, because this is not an assembly of called out ones. They are people who are meeting to worship, in this particular case, Diana. Now, I want us to pick up this word from the word ecclesia to the word, a word that's used in conjunction with the word church, and it's the word Christian. Again, this word Christian is sometimes wrongly used. The word Christian, dictionary definition, if we start there again, it means the inhabitant of Christendom with no reference to individual faith or practice. So you can use the word Christian, it means anybody. It doesn't matter whether they be Mormons, Catholics, Church of England, and even include Christadelphians in this. So it says an inhabitant of Christendom with no reference to individual faith or practice. Now sometimes you go through a dictionary, you'll find there is a second meaning, so they put this in. Second meaning, which they've got, a loose term comprising all denominations who believe in Jesus Christ. So I think we need to look at this word Christian. We've seen that the word church, we need to translate that. But now let's look at this word Christian. How many times is the word Christian used in the New Testament? Now, the way the church is around is used, you would think there would be 101 places. There is only 3 occurrences of the word Christian in the New Testament. I want us to look at those 3. Let's just start in the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 11. So the 3 are Acts 11 verse 26, Acts 26 verse 28, and the 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 16. But let's start with the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 11. So this word, Christian. How was it used? So we're into Acts 11 and at verse 26. Let's take verse 25 for connection. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. When he found him, they brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves with the ecclesia and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians first at Antioch. Now, this term, when you read it, is used in the connection of a symbol of disgrace, a symbol of ridicule. And it's only ever used in that way. So while we're in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 26, they just call, oh, they're Christians. That's what they said of them, Acts 26 and verse 28. The only three times it's used. 26, verse 28. And Paul is in front of King Agrippa on trial for his life. And Agrippa said to Paul, almost, that's verse 28 of Acts 26, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's how he'd say it. A symbol of contempt and disgrace. The last time we find is in the 1st of Peter chapter 4. 1st of Peter and chapter 4. And verse 16. Remember, this was a phrase coined by the enemies of those who believed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in other man's matters. So all these are linked with the next verse. And if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him be glorified God on his behalf. So it was a thing of shame. It was grouped with a murderer, with a thief, with an evildoer. That's how the word is used. So that poses a question then, doesn't it? If the word Christian is only used three times, how did the writers of the letters, how did they address the ecclesia, the assembly of called out ones? You can go through all the New Testament. Never, ever did the Apostle Paul, Peter or John, when writing to the ecclesia, did he call them Christians. But what he did call them was brethren, saints, believers, the elect. Never, ever Christians. Let's just then see how this idea that they were, when they were writing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, first of all. So when they addressed, or they sent a letter, they addressed the ecclesia like this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, first of all. Wherefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. Verse 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, and all the saints salute you. We know what the word saint is. Can you remember? Separated ones. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So, the use of the word saint, never the word Christian. So, as you go through into verse, you've got verse 1 of Colossians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, unto the saints, verse 2, and faithful brethren in Christ, which are in Colossae. So whenever it is addressed, it's always to saints, believers, brethren, whatever. So I want us just to follow this idea of how Christ uses the term also. Come to that quotation which we looked at very early in our talk, Hebrews chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, and we look at verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified, we use this word now, means set apart, and they that are set apart are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And we read on the verse we've already looked at from Psalm 22:22. I will declare my name unto my brethren. It doesn't say unto the Christians. He said, I declare my name unto my brethren. In the midst of the ecclesia will I sing praise. And just go down to verse 17. Wherefore in all things he beloved him to be made like to his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So we've seen the use of the word church, we've seen the use of the word saints, we've seen how it's been used throughout the scripture and the word Christian. Just one little thing, as we've got no interested friends in, if you look at the ecclesial guide, Brother Roberts, in Numbers 1 and 2 of the Ecclesial Guide, that's how he saw how important this was, writes thus: to help in the development and give scope for the exercise of this fulfillment, obedient believers are required to form themselves into communities, which in the Greek are called ecclesias. There's no exact equivalent in English for this term ecclesia. It means an assembly of the called. Church, by which it is translated, has not this meaning, has become objectionable through association with unapostolic ideas and institutions. Consequently, the original term has to be employed. That's Brother Roberts in the Ecclesial Guide. Next one, verse number two. The name Christadelphian. In the same way, Christian has become inexpressive of the definition of a true believer. In our day, it means an inhabitant of Christendom without reference to individual faith or practice. So it's a great privilege to come within the circumference of God's truth. We can either obey it as we who have been baptized have, and some here who have not been baptized. You see, baptism puts us in a very special relationship with God. It makes us his sons and his daughters. It makes us, in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, his brethren. And when you're baptized, you become a member of an ecclesia, an assembly or congregation called out, ones who have responded to the invitation from God. Some of us here have responded to that invitation. How about you?